Revelation chapter number 3, and we're going to start reading here in verse number 14. I'm going to talk to you today about when the Lord stops knocking. When the Lord stops knocking. Revelation chapter number 3, look there beginning in verse number 14. Talking here to the church in Laodicea. Revelation chapter number 3, verse number 14. The Bible says, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works. Thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, and that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." And verse 20 here is the text. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me." The Lord standing at the door knocking. But what happens when that knock stops? What happens when the Lord stops knocking? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I do love you, Lord. I do thank you for this opportunity. Lord, I thank you for those you brought in here today and for those over the internet who could not be in here today. But Lord, I do pray now that you use me here. I pray you fill me with your Spirit. I pray you give me your words and your clarity of thought here to speak to the people here today. And Lord, maybe there is somebody here over the internet, Lord, that needs to be saved. Lord, I pray the day is their salvation. But maybe there's many Christians here that knock has gone cold, that knock has gone soft. Lord, I pray you speak to our hearts here and convict us, Lord. Open the door, Lord. Have your will and way here today, and we'll give you the glory for what you do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, this here is one of the saddest verses in all of the Bible. This is not some sinner knocking on heaven's door. This is Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, knocking on the door. This is the risen Savior, Jesus Christ here, the glorified Jesus Christ, speaking personally to His church. And He's not speaking to His church from the inside. He's on the outside looking in. Now that ought to trouble us here today as we read from our text here. If Jesus is on the outside looking in, then something is terribly wrong inside. Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Think of the sadness in that statement. Think of the one who died for us, who shed his blood for us, our Savior, the head of the church, standing outside knocking and just wanting to come in. Now, the church in Laodicea, they had riches. They had everything man desires. They had riches. They had religion. They had a form of godliness, but they did not have Jesus Christ. They did not have Jesus. Jesus was on the outside. Now, how many churches you know of today? Oh, they have the programs. They have people. They have the lights. They have the world's music. But they have no Jesus. They have no Jesus. How many Christians read devotions? How many Christians pray? How many Christians go to church? How many Christians say grace before their meal, but they never fellowship with Jesus Christ? He wants your fellowship. He wants your communion. He wants to commune with you. He wants to fellowship with you. He wants to walk with you. He just wants you. He wants you. The Lord Jesus Christ is standing at the door knocking. He's waiting for the church. A member, somebody, just open the door and let him in. That same knock is true today. He knocks at the door of our hearts, and He keeps on knocking, waiting for us to open up and let Him in. He knocks so much that you either have to deaden your heart to the knock, or you have to open up. Which one is it? If you reject Jesus Christ and the knock for so long, that knocking will stop. Oh, what a sad day that would be. What a sad day that would be if the day came and there was no more knocking. And so today, I got three doors for you. Three doors. I want to give you three doors. And what happens when the Lord stops knocking? Number one, we see here the door of the church. What happens when the Lord stops knocking at the door of the church? In Matthew chapter 16, in verse number 18, Jesus says, "And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." You notice it's not Peter that's going to build Jesus Christ's church. Hey, it's not the Pope. It is Jesus Christ. The church belongs to Jesus Christ. He created the church. He builds His church. Not man. Jesus Christ. Hey, not the Catholic Church. Jesus Christ. He paid the ultimate price for His church. His blood in Acts 20, verse 28. He paid it all with the shed blood of Jesus Christ. You see, that's the significance of His blood. That blood that ran through His vein was not man blood. It was God blood. He is God, 100% God, 100% man. And He paid the ultimate price for His church. The church is the most precious asset on this earth. Many Christians ought to be ashamed on how they treat the church of God, to how they treat His church. In 1 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse number 15, the Bible says, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." You see, the church is to be the pillar of truth. It is to be the ground, the foundation of truth. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? But unfortunately today, so many churches are not about truth. They're not about truth. Churches have become social clubs. They have become coffee clubs. They have become Dunkin' Donuts. Hey, they have become business ventures, and I'm reminded of what Jesus said about that. Flip over real quick to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21, and look there in verse 12 and number 13. In Matthew chapter 21, in verse 12 and 13, the church is to be the pillar and ground of the truth. But today, it's nothing like that. Most churches are nothing like that. Jesus speaking here in Matthew 21, 12, it says, "And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves." And verse 13 says, "And said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves." You see, the knocking of Jesus Christ, the knocking on the door of the church will quit when the preacher is not preaching the truth of God's Word. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, the Bible says, "Preach the Word." Not to preach our feelings, not to preach our thoughts. We are to preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. See, that's the way it's supposed to be. We got it all right here. I don't need to invent anything else. It's all right here. 66 books of the Bible, complete how it stands right here in the King James Bible. I don't need to come up here and tell you about my thoughts. I don't need to come up here and tell you about, I feel this way. God's already wrote it. He settled it. It's complete right there. That is the truth. But unfortunately, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 3 and 4 tells us that the world that we live in, they don't want to hear the truth. They want their ears to itch. They want people to tell us a funny story. Right? And 2 Timothy 4 and verse 3 says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine." Right? And we've been looking at this verse and many verses on Wednesday study, going over false doctrines and false teaching and false preachers. Right? The time that we're living in is the end times. Jesus could come back right now. Nothing needs to take place. Hey, we are in the end. I believe that wholeheartedly. Jesus could come back right now. And the Bible warns us. It says, going on, it says, "But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth." How many people reject the Bible for their feelings? How many people don't listen to the Word of God or some preacher who preaches the Word of God? They go based off their feelings. "Well, this experience that I had, this vision that I had, this dream that I had." And he goes on and says, in this verse 4 and says, "And they shall turn their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." So many churches today not looking for truth. All they're looking for is that feel-good message. That good feeling. Hey, what is God going to do for me today? I came to church. I blessed Him with my presence. I'm here, by golly. Hey, what is my reward? Health, wealth, prosperity? What is it? Let me tell you something. God does not owe you anything. He does not owe you a happy life. He does not owe me a happy life. He does not owe us a mansion on the big hill here in the city, a new truck, a new boat. He doesn't owe us any of those things. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then he says in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. You see, you're in my sin. The only reward we have waiting is death. That's what God owes us. He doesn't owe us anything. And when the preacher starts getting away from the truth of the Word of God, hey, that knocking at the door of the church will stop. And then you know what happens, right? You bring in the world's music, you get the smoke machines going, you turn off the lights, and you get the drums going and everything that feeds the flesh up. Hey, the knocking of that church is going to stop. The knocking of Jesus Christ is going to stop. Jesus will go somewhere else. He's not going to hang out there. And it's amazing because Jesus is what? He is the light. You have so many of these buildings where they've darkened the walls. They're black. They're dark inside. And then they turn the lights off. Jesus is the light. Jesus is the light. But you know why, don't you? Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Their deeds are evil. But so many people today in churches, they just want to be entertained. Hey, we don't care if Jesus is there. We just want you to entertain us, preacher. Tell me some joke. Make me laugh. Hey, I'm not saying jokes are bad. Jokes have their place. But let me tell you this. The Word of God is the most serious thing in the world. The preaching of the Word of God is the most serious thing in this life. You understand that? This isn't time for jokes. This is time to preach the Word of God. Why? Because heaven and hell are at stake. Death is at stake. Lives are at stake. Heaven and hell is at stake. This is a matter of life and death. And you need to be preaching from this book right here. 66 books, all of it true. Hey, let me tell you something else here. The knocking of the door of the church stops when the church is not accomplishing the Great Commission. Mark 16:15 says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." That word "go" is a command. This is not an option. It is a command, and it's not just for the pastor. It's not just for the pastor's wife. It's not just for the pastor's kids. It's for everybody. The word "go" is a command. Hey, if you're not going soul winning, you put up a sign right now and take Gilead Baptist Church down and put up Ichabod. Ichabod. That's what we need to replace the sign with is Ichabod, because the glory of the Lord is gone. Hey, if you're not winning souls, the glory of the church is gone. That is a sign of a dead church. Number one sign, you go somewhere and you look at the church, the number one sign if they're a dead or alive, are they going soul winning? If they're not going soul winning, it's a dead church. It is dead. Hey, are you preaching the gospel? Are you winning souls? Are you passing out tracts? Hey, there's over 8 billion people in the world today. More people than ever before. We should be winning souls like crazy. But you know why we're not? There's a song. O-B-E-D-I-E-N-C-E. Obedience is the very best way
to show that you believe.
Obedience. So many Christians are not obedient to the word go. Right? The word come is an invitation. We like that. But the word go means go ye in all the world. Go ye therefore, Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Teach them what? The gospel. Win them to the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you know it says that? Because then it says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Hey, are you faithful to the Great Commission? Well, let me ask you this. Are you faithful to church? It all starts there. Are you faithful to church? Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a matter of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Oh, here he goes. He's going to preach on not being faithful to church. Hey, if you guys get it, I'll move on. You get it? I'll move on. Faithful to church. This is God's church. It's not my church. It's not your church. It's not anybody. It's the Lord Jesus Christ's church. And you being unfaithful to this church is a poor, poor testimony on your behalf. You say, well, when do we assemble? Well, let me tell you. At 9 o'clock, the men assemble for prayer. At 9:45, we assemble for Sunday school. Everybody should be here at 9:45 because we've assembled. In continuation, we assemble at 11 o'clock. Now we take a break after service. We go to lunch and we come back at 2:30 for assembling. Oh, that's a lot. I'm not done. We also assemble once every month on a Monday. The doors are open. We have assembled. We come together for a fellowship. That's assembling. I'm not done. We have a Wednesday night service. That is assembling as well. Remember, I'm just giving you Bible. We're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. When is the church open? Hey. The knock will go away. If we do nothing, this church will go away. Jesus Christ will go away. Hey, listen. I'm not even telling you. Hey, Saturday we assemble. I didn't mention that. Saturday we assemble at 10 o'clock. Where are you? Saturday we assemble. Mondays every month we assemble. Sundays, Saturdays, Wednesdays. Hey, if anything else comes up, special meetings, we assemble. It's all right there. But like I said, if you just get it, I'll move on. I'll move on. Hey, listen, by coming to church, you know what you do? You teach your children that church is important. You teach them that the things of God are important. If you don't come to church, you're wishy-washy about church. Hey, you're teaching your kids that, hey, this thing of God, it means nothing. And then they grow up and they go out into the world and you wonder why. Remember the result, Ichabod. Ichabod, the glory is departed. In 1 Samuel chapter 4 in verse 21, Israel thought that the presence of the ark guaranteed God's blessing. But they found out that sin actually drives God away. Sin will drive God away. If you remember, Eli's daughter-in-law had a child. In 1 Samuel 4:21, the Bible says, and she named the child Ichabod, saying, the glory is departed from Israel, because the ark of God was taken. So many churches today, oh, they have a name. They have a glorious history. They have a big, nice building, but the glory is gone. Jesus Christ is no longer present. You say, oh, yeah, but look at all the programs they have. Look at all the people that they have. Yes, they do. But they have no Jesus. Jesus is outside knocking, wanting to come in. You see, when Jesus stops knocking at the door, judgment is near. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 5 says, I will come unto thee quickly, and I will remove thy candlestick out of this place, except thou repent. In our text in verse 16 of Revelation chapter 3, he says, so then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, what's he going to do? He says, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Jesus Christ quits knocking at the door of the church when we're not faithful to him. We're not faithfully serving him. Hey, let me give you a second door. Not only the church, we look at the church, but we also look at the door of the Christian. The door of the Christian. In our text in Revelation chapter 3, in verse number 20, says, if any man hear my voice and open the door. Hey, if any man, you get that? This becomes personal to you and I. This becomes personal to me. It's not just about the church
anymore.
It's about you and I. Jesus knocks on our hearts. Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed? In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 6, the Bible says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. You see, you got saved. You got a fire lit on you. Changes were taking place. You were walking with Jesus and things were going on in your life and you were excited. But then something changed. Something happened. Maybe it was sin. Maybe you allowed sin to creep in. Maybe you allowed bitterness to get a root in your heart. Or maybe even worldliness hindered your walk with God and you grieved the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4:20 says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. And 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, quench not the Spirit. He's knocking at your door. But you're ignoring Him. You're ignoring Him. Every time that Spirit nudges you to serve, every time that Spirit nudges you to witness, every time that Spirit nudges you to sing or teach or to give, and you say no, you're grieving the Holy Spirit. And you grieve Him so long, and that knock, it just goes away. It just goes away. Not now, Lord, I'm busy. You know, I got these things that I'm doing. My Saturday is... Yeah, I got so much things I could be doing on Saturday. I've got so many things to do. Hey, just let someone else do it. Hey, I've tithed my time. Somebody else can do it. You know what? I got it. When I retire, then I'll get more faithful. But that's another lie of the devil. You see, you'll fill your time with other things. It always happens. Listen, if we just sit around and do nothing, this church will die. This church will die. If we sit around and do nothing, that knock on your heart will die. It will stop. It will stop. In Song of Solomon in chapter 5 in verses 2 and 6, it gives another example of the knock at the door. There's a knock at the door in verse 2. In verse 6 of Song of Solomon 5, 6, it says, I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. Hey, listen, Jesus offers everybody to open the door. He knocks on every one of our hearts, but let me tell you, it is a sad, sad day when that knock stops. Too many Christians have their lives set, their hearts set on living for the world. You see, when I got, God pulled me out of the world. He saved me in that junk, but He didn't leave me there. He changed me. He made me a new creature, a new person in Jesus Christ. But too many Christians want to live for the world. How much time do we dedicate to the Lord? There's 24 hours in a day. That equates to 1,440 minutes in a day. How much of that time do we give to the Lord? Let me ask you that. You see, the Lord wants to be first in everything. He wants to be first in the morning. He wants first of everything that we have to offer. But you know what? We spend way too much time on Facebook. We spend way too much time on Snapchat and Twitter and TikTok. Hey, and we spend too much time on the internet just shopping, just browsing, looking. The Lord wants first place. He wants first place in your heart. He doesn't want whatever's left over of your 24 hours because there's no time left over. We humans, we fleshly humans, prideful humans, we can fill literally every minute of every day with other things. Too many Christians want to live for the world. We elevate our feelings and our desires and our wants above the Lord. Remember, Lot pitched his tent toward Sodom. He didn't move into Sodom first. He pitched his tent toward Sodom, so that way he was looking at the wickedness every single moment of every single day. And then the next thing you know, he's living in Sodom. He had no testimony in Sodom. His sons-in-law laughed at him. He lost his family. Why? Because of the love of the world. 1 John 2. Look over there. Turn over to 1 John chapter number 2. Lot's now a picture of the compromised Christian for us. He is a picture of what it's like to be full of the world. But the Bible gives clear warnings about that. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. Very first words, what does it say? Love not the world. Love not the world. Do I need to read the rest of the verse? He tells us right there, love not the world. So as he's talking to Christians here. Christians, right? He says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, get this, the love of the Father is not in him. You can't love the world and love God. In verse 16, he says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. In verse 17, and the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You see, in order for us Christians to have fellowship with God, to have a walk with God, we must forsake the world. We must come out from among the world. You cannot love the world and love God. The lust of the flesh, that's talking about all the desires that our flesh wants to do. Right? When we listen to the world's music, that fuels our flesh, that lifts our pride and our lust. The lust of the eyes is, hey, material things of the world. I want this. I want that. I want a new boat and a new house and a bigger house. And the pride of life, that's the kind of the world we're living in now. It's all about me. The pride of life. The me generation, right? You've heard that. It's all about me. Have it my way, anyway. Hey, what about what we watch on TV, Christians? What about music we listen to, the websites we go to? You see, Satan has captured you and your family by the TV. You say, no, man, I got my doors are locked, my windows are sealed, we do our Bible time. Hey, the devil's not getting in this house, but we put a golden calf up on the wall. We put a golden calf up on the wall, and the family comes around every day, and we worship. We worship at that golden calf. We worship there. You see, we have let the devil in so many different ways. Through the TV, through the internet, through the music. And then we wonder, what happened? I've done all these things. I've safeguarded this and this. And we just let him in unannounced. Hey, that knock at the door of the Christian will stop. We're not careful. If we're not living for the Lord, if we're not walking for the Lord, and you know what else? Hey, the knock of that door of a Christian will stop if we've not forgiven people, if we're not forgiving others. We need to be about forgiveness. We need to be about forgiveness. You see, many people, even in Baptist churches, refuse to forgive. We harbor bitterness in our heart. Oh, Pastor, you just don't understand. You don't understand what I've been through. You don't understand what they did to me. But you know what? God does. God understands. God knows what happened. He can handle it way better than you and I can. Just give it to Him. Take it off of the account. Don't worry about it. Don't stress about it. Just take it off of the account and give it to the Lord. You turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. GE Phone Company, Galatians, Ephesians, right? Ephesians chapter 4. And look there in verse 31. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31 says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Put it away. All those things, right? Don't let that root of bitterness pop up. Don't let that root grow. You ever, take a seed and you put it in water or something and you're going to plant that seed in that root. Once it starts growing that root, once it first pokes out, it just takes off from there. It's got a big old root. That's that bitterness wrapping around your heart. The root of bitterness, got to let it go. And verse 32 says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, and here you go, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You get that? Let me read it again. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Let me tell you, if you're here today and you're saved, God has forgiven you so much. He has forgiven us of all of our sins. He's forgiven us. Think about that.
Why can't we forgive somebody who's wronged us, or somebody who's done something to us, or somebody who's said something to us? What we've done to Jesus is far greater than what anybody's ever done to us. We've got to forgive. We've got to let all that bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from us. Jesus said in Mark 11:26, if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Hey, listen, the knock at the door of your heart gets softer and softer the longer you put it off. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hey, just seek Him. And I'm reading this, and this was an interesting verses that I came to. If you could turn over to Proverbs 1. We talk about the knocking of the door. In Proverbs 1, I want to read you a series of verses here about the knock. If you don't open up to the knock, if you don't hear the knock, if you don't open up to the knock, here in Proverbs 1, look here, starting in verse 24. Proverbs 1:24 says, because I have called and you refused. Right? There was a knock at your door, but you refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But you have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. You didn't listen. You didn't open the door. I was knocking. I was convicting your heart. I was speaking to you. But you didn't listen. Here's what happens. Verse 26, this is serious here too, by the way. He says, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. Hey, when you finally turn to Him, He says He will laugh. He will mock. Verse 27, when your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, when all these things of the world come upon you, listen, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. That's scary. That's scary. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore, listen, shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. There's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. He says here, verse 32, for the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. Verse 33, but whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Hey, it's a scary day when that knock of that Christian goes away. Open the door. I got one more door I want to talk to you here today. Not only the door of the church, not only the door of the Christian, but also the door of the lost person. The door of that lost person. Jesus knocks at every heart. He's pleading for salvation. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You see, Jesus is knocking at your heart. You've never been saved. You've never been born again. He's knocking at your heart. He's not willing that any should perish. He does not want you to perish. But you know what? He's knocking today, but tomorrow that knock might go away. That knock might go away. You see, you've heard the preaching, you've heard the gospel, and over again you say, not today. You say, I'm not ready. You say, maybe tomorrow. You say, I'm going to live my life first. But you know what? Every time you say no, it makes it that much easier to say no again. It makes it that much easier. If you reject the Lord Jesus Christ, you're in danger of never hearing that knock again. Proverbs 29:1. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without
remedy. Hey, lost person, that knock will stop one day. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed on the man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Heaven or hell is at stake. Christ went to the cross for you. He died on that cross. He shed His blood. He was buried. He rose again the third day. He came out of the grave very much alive. He offers salvation to all that will freely come to Him. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, Jesus is not willing that any should perish. He went to the cross of Calvary so you wouldn't perish. That knock on your heart is there today, but it could be gone tomorrow. The old ticker might stop a ticking today. You go out into eternity and you read about Agrippa in Acts 26, verse 28. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. I think hell is full of people just like that. They heard the gospel, they had the knock, they rejected, and their heart stopped to ticking. They went off into eternity just like Agrippa, and he had all of eternity to think about almost being a Christian. But you know what almost a Christian is? Lost. 100% lost. God's brought you to this point today, and He wants to give you that free gift. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. He's brought you here today, and He offers a gift of salvation, but you got to receive it. You got to receive it. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid it all on the cross. 1 John 5:12 breaks it down. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Which group are you in? He paid it all. The sin debt has been paid for. So now it's a Son question. It's an S-O-N. Do you have the Son? Do you have the Son, Jesus Christ? He paid it all. You have the Son, you have eternal life. You do not have the Son, you need to get the Son here today. Romans 10:9-10 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 13 there says, For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I am so glad that at 38 years old, I didn't turn the knock down anymore. I had turned it down so many times that, hey, I believed there in August of 2014 that knock was going to stop that night. That I was going to go out that night into eternity, and I would lift up my eyes just like that rich man in hell, and I'd lift up my eyes being in torment and never be able to get out. So by faith, I just turned to the Lord Jesus Christ. Save me. Forgive me my sins. Take me to heaven. Believe that You died on that cross for me. The Bible says that's being born again. Jesus says that's what being born again looks like. Hey, and then He made me a new creature. Hey, listen, today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, but today. Today is the day. Let me have every head bowed and every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed here today. Let me talk to you for a minute today. You're here today and you say, well, preacher, I know I'm going to heaven. I've been born again. I know for sure I'm going to heaven. But maybe you're here today and you say, I am going to heaven. I used to walk close to the Lord. I used to feel that knock you're talking about. I used to hear the voice. Maybe something's changed in life. Maybe things have happened. Maybe now you've grown a little bit cold. You've grown a little bit callous to the Word. Jesus is knocking. Will you open the door? Let me ask you this, church. Hey, are we doing ministry without the Master? Are we doing what we do here without Jesus? We got to have Jesus. We need Him right here in the midst of everything we do. Do we need to just cry out today, Jesus, come in. Open the door. Maybe you're here today and you say, preacher, I don't know if I died today, I'd go to heaven. The Bible says in 1 John 5:13 that He wants you to know you have eternal life. You can know you have eternal life. You say, I've been under the conviction. I know what you're talking about with the knocking of the heart. I've been under conviction. Hey, you've had chances before. In just a moment, we'll have an invitation. You can come forward and tell me that. And I can show you from the Bible how to be saved. But are you going to open the door? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me.